Good morning. I'm looking for the clock. I can't go by this one here. So good to be with you again, beloved. Does anybody here don't know who I am? I've been here quite a few times. It's always a joy to be able to, first of all, to remember our Lord, to sing his praise, to worship him, to honor his name. It's also a joy to be able to open his word, that together we can look into God's word and see what he has to say to us. Whether it's a challenge, a reminder, an encouragement, it's always a pleasure and a privilege to open God's word together. Are we going to do just that right now and turn to 2 Chronicles in chapter 7? I know it's a familiar portion, but we're going to just look at a few things there in that second book of Chronicles in chapter 7. We begin to read at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself as an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and mine ordinances, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. We're going to just stop there. You know, I'm always challenged by this portion, beloved, because it brings us to a place of privilege that carries with it great responsibility. How is it that God could look down on such as we are and refer to us as his people? My people, God says. Originally, and in context, it's written to the children of Israel. They are the people of God referred to here. But reference has been made, and application has been made, and rightly so, to all those nations that have a godly heritage. We who are, whose society has been established on biblical principles, and those of us who name the name of Christ, we can insert ourselves here, our names here, and say, yes, we are also in this day and age the people of God. And God made a tremendous promise to Solomon, but the promise also included a response from him and a kind of a commitment from him, because it's not just a blanket promise. It says if. So there are consequences, there are conditions to God's promises. And God said that there is a chance that I might send locusts because of the rebellion of the people. There might be some hardships because my people might stray from me. There are consequences to going away and turning our backs on the Lord. He says, if I do that, then remember there's only one way back. There is only one condition of revival, one condition of blessing. My people must turn. When we think of Israel, or when we think of the people of God, for that matter, in today's age, there are three things that characterize the people of God. For Israel, they first of all were the called of God. The people of God were called. We find also the people of God were covenanted. God had made a binding and a solemn agreement with them. And we find also the people of God were consecrated. First of all, called. And this began with the call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. God called him, and God's purpose was to make of him a great nation. That people by which his name will be called. He will establish him, his name in the earth. He was to be a great nation. He said, in blessing I will bless thee. He said, I will make thy name great. I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So this people that God refers to here, first of all, they were called. God called them. Through Abraham, or first of all he was Abraham, then he became Abraham. The people of God were also covenanted. God made a covenant with Abraham. There were several covenants in God's word, but God made a covenant with Abraham to bless his seed, to give him the land, and to raise up seed from which the Messiah will come. That covenant, that sacred covenant, it was established first of all in Abraham, and it was confirmed and reconfirmed in his son Isaac and Jacob. The promise of posterity, the promise of the land. Then there is this covenant also, the covenant of David, the Davidic covenant that established the royal line. And this is how Solomon came into it. And God says, I will establish your kingdom. You see, under the Davidic covenant, God promised to David and his posterity a perpetual seed. But the perpetual seed was not promised through Solomon. The perpetual kingdom was promised through Solomon. And here we have it restated as well. I will establish thy kingdom. My people. Called by my name. Called, covenanted, and consecrated. Set apart for God. A special people. And the first time that God made the promise of having a royal priesthood, a people of his own, was first to Israel. But those were conditional, as we have it in Exodus 19. The old or the Mosaic covenant was conditional. If you will do, if you will obey, if you will hearken, if you will do, if you will keep my commandments. When we think of being the people of God, beloved, that's an honor, that's a privilege that each one of us enjoy. We enjoy that relationship, we enjoy that nearness to God, that God can refer to us as my people. My people. And you and I, beloved, in this day in which we are living, as part of the church, the body of Christ, we also are the people of God. The Apostle Peter reminds us, yes, this was not always the case. God has brought us in by his grace. He said, we who once were not a people, 1 Peter 2, are now the people of God. We who once had not obtained mercy have now obtained mercy. And as it was for Israel, beloved, and so it is for you and I, we have the privilege and the honor to be called the people of God, but we also have the responsibility to live up to the name of our Lord, to represent him well here on this earth. The people of God, by being called, the people of God by covenant, the people of God by consecration. We read in the book of Exodus in chapter 6, and God says, I'm going to remember my covenant. The covenant he made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And he remembered his people suffering down in Egypt. And God said in Exodus in chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, my people. And I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, who bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. God remembered his people. His people by covenant, his people that he called, his people that he consecrated. God made a promise to Abraham. And the Egyptians were not going to afflict them forever, because God had said to Abraham, them that bless thee will I bless, and him that curseth thee will I curse. Egypt were coming in for the hand of judgment of God, because they had afflicted his people. And God says, I remember my covenant. And beloved, you and I, we need to understand that we are his also by covenant. We sang it this morning, mine by covenant, mine forever, mine as an unchanging God. That solemn agreement that God made. I mentioned before that the first time God said he would have a peculiar or a people of his own was under the Mosaic conditional covenant in Exodus in chapter 19. Verse 5 says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then it shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." A people of his own, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. Ask yourselves, let us ask ourselves, who are we? We are exactly what God said to Israel. It is not that we have become Israel. We have not taken Israel's place. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying under the new covenant, we also are a people of his own. We also have become a kingdom of priests. And as priests, beloved, that's what gives us the privilege to enter into the Holy of Holies and to worship the Lord there as we did this morning. A covenanted people, a consecrated people. According to Deuteronomy in chapter 7, a people set apart for God. According to chapter 7 and verse 6, that's what it says in Deuteronomy. A people set apart for God. And Moses, no, that's Numbers, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want to read that. Verse 6 says, "For thou art an holy people, consecrated, an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people who are upon the face of the earth." Special. A people of his own. Chapter 14 also tells us of the people that are consecrated to the Lord, the people that are set apart for God. In chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people," or a people of his own, "people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." What an honor. What a privilege that God could call a man out of Ur of the Chaldeans and tell him that he's going to establish his seed, and they shall be a special people unto himself. And when it comes to you and I, beloved, God came to this earth in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are reminded in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus died on the cross that he might sanctify us and he might make us a people of his own. God, he gave himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Titus in chapter 2. He redeemed us, he purified us, and he made us a people unto himself. God is saying to you and me, beloved, my people, if my people, the only condition to revival, the only condition of blessing is that God's people must understand, we must take a stand, We must be set apart for God. We must be devoted to Him. If at all, we will receive the blessing. For Israel, as for you and I as well, beloved, they did not always walk in His ways. They did not always set themselves apart for Him and to do His will. They strayed. They went after other gods. And we know that they suffered the consequences. For instance, God said through his servant Jeremiah in chapter 2, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. My people went away from me. My people strayed from me." And God had to deal with His people in very severe terms, beloved. I want you to look with me for the few moments left at one of the sad portions of God's word. In my mind, when God instructed Hosea to marry, and it's no good word for this, to marry a prostitute, to marry an unfaithful woman. What was He saying? He was showing where Israel was at that point in time. Because Hosea is going to experience the unfaithfulness of his wife. And God is going to say, that's the condition of my people at this point in time. And this very sad, let's just look at the book of Hosea. Because this is really sad, because Hosea had to go and he married to Gomer. And you notice what God said. He married to Gomer and he went and took Gomer, verse 3 of chapter 1, the daughter of Diblaim, and conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. God is saying, first of all, this, my people, will be scattered. That's the meaning of the word Jezreel, scattered. And we know that Israel was scattered. We know that they are still scattered because of rebellion, because of spiritual unchastity. They have gone after other gods. But that's not the only child they had. Verse 5 said, it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bore a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. God is saying, beloved, there is no mercy for Israel. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be captured. They're going to be taken into captivity. They're going to suffer because of their unfaithfulness. My people, no mercy. no pity because of unfaithfulness. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. And there's a third child. Verse 8 says, and when she had weaned Loruhama, she conceived and bore a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. What a fall. What a severity, beloved, when we stray away from the Lord. Remember, the God's promise here was conditional. Those who are the people of God, God says, no longer are you my people. He put them away. He disowned them because of their rebellion. He scattered them. Call him Jezreel. Scattered them. Call her Loruhama, no pity, no mercy. Call him Lo-Ammi, because you are not my people. They strayed. They wandered away from God. But beloved, the good news is that this was not permanent. This was not permanent. Because God was saying even in this first chapter that one day he will bring them back again. Those who were scattered, he would regather again. Those who had not obtained mercy will obtain mercy again. And those whom God says, you are not my people, one day you will be my people again. The mercy and the grace of God. And you get to the end of the book of Hosea, and we see Israel regathered, God showing mercy, and God claiming them as his people again. Verse 10 says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. The mercy of God. God is going to show mercy again, and God is going to make them his people again. God is going to regather them again, those who were scattered. Verse 11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, no more Jezreel, but gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, am I? Wow, what a change. Am I? My people. And to your sisters, Ruhema, merciful. I will show mercy and pity. Because God one day will bring his people back. God one day will bring them into favor again. Oh, beloved, that's the mercy of God. And just in case there's anyone who thinks, well, God has wiped them out forever and God has nothing else to do with Israel, as some people tell us, you turn to Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9. Well, we find in verse 24, for even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, we just read it, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God. Chapter 11 tells us that God is able to bring them in again. God is able to graft them in again. And God one day will visit his people when the Lord Jesus comes and he will gather his people from the ends of the earth. And they shall be gathered unto him. But my people, there are things that we have to do, God says. There must be humility. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Shall humble themselves. God's going to bring them in again, but it's after repentance. It's after national repentance. God is going to bring them in again. And those who rejected the Messiah, who turn away from him, God is going to bring them in again because they are going to own him as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. They're going to bow to him. And they're going to humble themselves. Beloved, if we're out of fellowship and communion with our God, this is the path of revival. This is the path of restoration. My people, called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Nothing in between. God says then. Only then will I hear from heaven. Only then will I forgive their sins. Only then will I heal their land. You look around us and all we do is complain about conditions. We complain to everyone who would listen how things are so bad. Or how our country is being destroyed and we haven't looked to ourselves to recognize our responsibility in the whole thing. God is looking for leadership from his people. God is looking for his people to lead the way in honesty, in love and concern, and most of all, in exalting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This people that are called by his name, we're going to look at that this evening. Because we don't have time to really look at being called by his name. You see what a responsibility it is. It was for Israel, and it is for us as well. Called by his name. One example we have when King David sinned and his sin was exposed, and the prophet pointed him to what he had done. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to him, you know, the Lord has forgiven your sin, but you've left some scars. You, by this sin, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Beloved, we have to be careful. Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Called. Oh, we see when God called Abraham. But we recognize also that God called others down through the line. He called Moses to go and deliver his people. He called David after he was rejected by all. He called David to lead his people. When there was so much sin at Shiloh, and the high priest was looking the other way while his sons made themselves vile, he called a child by the name of Samuel. And if you are available, God can call you for a special service. My people called. My people covenanted, beloved. We have made an agreement with God. We belong to Him by covenant, by promise. Gather my saints, Psalm 50 and 5. Gather my saints together unto me. Those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The covenant is always ratified by blood. And Jesus spoke of the new covenant. When he took the wine, he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood, new covenant in my blood." So, beloved, we belong to him by solemn agreement. We have pledged ourselves to be his. We have pledged ourselves to represent him. We are also his. By consecration. We must sanctify ourselves. We must set ourselves apart for him. Separate ourselves from evil and separate ourselves unto him. A people of his own. We are his by consecration. Therefore, we have a responsibility in this day and age to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for that blessed hope, the glory of the appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't let it be said of us, beloved, my people would not hearken. My people have forsaken me. My people have turned away from me. I no longer recognize them as my people. There are so many who claim to be Christians, believers today. You can't recognize them. You can't distinguish them from the world. They're so engrossed in worldly things. Because I don't even know you. I can't even recognize you. We sing in one of our songs, "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine." Let us remember our pledge, because God is going to keep his covenant. He kept it with Israel. He's going to keep his covenant with us, that new covenant. And we thank God that that new covenant is not conditional as was Israel's. There is no if in the new covenant. And beloved, that's the covenant that you and I are under, the new covenant. It's not conditional. It's established, the Bible says, upon better promises. It's unconditional. But we still have that responsibility to hearken, to respond. If my people, it's one thing to say we are the people of God. It's another thing to live up to that responsibility and to represent him well. God made a promise to Solomon. It was a great promise, but it had conditions. It had conditions. Solomon, you're supposed to walk before me as your father David walked. And just in case you don't walk before me, and just in case my people go astray, I may send pestilence. I may send temptations. I may send certain things to bother you. But there is a way back. And so it is for you and me, beloved. There is a way back. It's called repentance. It's called turning. It's called changing our minds. If you belong to the Lord and you find yourself in a place of backsliding, a place of worldliness, a place of not in God's will. Now is our time to return. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. Call by my name, we're going to look at this evening. And again, look at those conditions. Call by my name. If you don't think that's important, think of your children when they go out. And you warn them, you're careful, you don't disgrace my name. If you care so much about your name, what about the name of the Lord? Call by my name. God bless his word. Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for giving us thy word. We thank thee for the privilege that we are now the people of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. We thank thee for the honor and privilege of being called the people of God. We thank thee too that there is a corresponding responsibility to walk and to live in this world as the people of God, representing our Lord well. We ask thy blessing upon thy word and thy blessing upon thy people everywhere. Lord, accept of our praise and thanksgivings that we offer to thee as we ask thy blessing in parting. In the precious name of thy beloved Son, our blessed Lord, and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.